friends. Of course, I go by the name of the Kid, Famous. You and I are tuned in to the Tim and Friends Show. Hello, education, entertainment, coast to coast. Ball it up, call it entertainment. Let's get this started. Uncle Tim, let's start this show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
Welcome to Tim and Friends for this April 29th, live from the Sportsnet Studios in downtown Toronto. I will be with you. We will be with you for the full 2 hours on all platforms today. Sportsnet, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet 590 in the Fan, and of course, streaming on Sportsnet Now. Today, my friends include Eddie Olczyk, Arash Madani, Adam Rank, and Nate Burleson will make his long overdue Tim and Friends debut. Got it good, and since you understood, of course, you. At Tim and Friends on Twitter and Instagram is where you can join me. The first round of the NFL draft happening tonight in Cleveland, and let the games begin. ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting that Aaron Rodgers is not only disgruntled, he's so disgruntled, how disgruntled is he, that he told the Packers front office he does not want to return to the team next season. Now, to add a little juice to what is already juicy, there were earlier reports that the 49ers had reached out to the Packers yesterday about a potential Aaron Rodgers deal. Double up. So much speculation about what the Niners would do with that number 3 overall pick. And I asked on air a couple times, why were they being so coy about this 3rd overall selection? Maybe we know now. Rodgers, of course, from the Bay Area. Oh, so many layers to this onion. Should make an interesting night even more interesting. Now, this year's draft will be in person, at least partially. After last year's virtual draft, it will be held outside, allowing fans to attend. And 13 players will be there to bro-hug the vaccinated commissioner. Oh, 2021, you card, you. Now, this year, teams will be permitted to set up their war rooms at team facilities, so we won't get the Jerry Jones on his douchebaggy mega yacht or Bill Belichick and his dog at his kitchen table when they're about to make a pick. And we do know the first overall pick. Trevor Lawrence will go first, and Arash Madani and QB guru Jordan Palmer will give you one of the best scouting reports you will see on the number 1 overall pick. And as mentioned, NFL Network's Adam Rank, Nate Burleson, good day to have loaded up on the NFL. We have been and always will be your best source for NFL talk right here in Canada. So stick around, and I'll tell you why it doesn't matter where you draft your franchise quarterback. It goes against everything they tell you. But I'll tell you why it doesn't matter. All right. 3 games in the Scotia North last night. Another 2 games tonight. And Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid continue to put up jaw-dropping numbers. We'll start with Austin Matthews showing off the hand-eye coordination last night on his 35th goal of the season as the Leafs beat the Habs to officially clinch a playoff spot. It was ridiculous and so understated. Fitting it all happened in Montreal because Matthews is running away with the Rocket Richard. And speaking of Rocket Richard, that is, Jason Spezza moved into a tie with the Habs legend for 99th in the all-time scoring list with 966 points after recording 2 assists last night. And that's not where we stop on the history on Father Time Buds. Joe Thornton also became just the 7th player in NHL history with 1,100 career assists. Kind of cool. After the game, Matthews and Jack Campbell honored the elder statesman of the Leafs.
It's hard to even take it for granted because every day we come in and it's like you're in awe to see those guys in the locker room. And, you know, you're having a coffee with Jumbo or Spets, and it's just like, you know, I find myself just being like chuckling in the car after practice because I'm like, wow, Jumbo and Spets are my buddies. It's pretty cool.
We're playing with a couple of living legends, and it's pretty awesome. You know, at this stage in the career, how passionate they are about the team, about winning, about performing every night, and you know, obviously getting themselves ready. So it's been awesome.
Jesse, is that just me, or is it cool to see pros chuckling about playing with other pros?
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
They're
too.
Friends, man.
The Jets got a better game out of Connor Hellebuyck last night, but it wasn't enough. As the Oilers won their sixth straight against Winnipeg. Connor McDavid, three more assists. It was his ninth straight multi-point game against the Jets. That's now 84 points in 47 games for McDavid. He is on pace for the century in 56 games. We'll see how much he adds to it tonight as the Oilers and Flames renew the Battle of Alberta on Sportsnet, 9 Eastern, 7 local time. We'll check in with Gene Principe in Edmonton in about an hour. And congratulations to the Ottawa Senators, who are out of the basement in the North Division for now. Sens beat the Canucks 6-3 yesterday. Brady Tkachuk, Gordie Howe hat trick, eh? And he busts out what's becoming his signature Frank the Tank Selly, which he finally talked about after the game.
Frank the Tank, that's, you know, saw that and I think it's hilarious. I mean, I've been trying to do the Will Ferrell Halloween costumes, and I mean, I guess it started there. I was thinking about it and, you know, do it as a joke, but I don't know why it started this year, and I don't know what I was thinking, but I like it. It's different. It shows a little fun aspect to the game.
Unless you're playing against him or your team is playing against him, how can you not love this kid? He's still just 21. I mean, imagine when he grows up, what he's going to do. Leads the league in fights, too. You just hope that ownership can find a way, keep him, I don't know, maybe surround him and the other young talent in Ottawa that DJ's got playing. More on that. Well, we're going to talk about that coming up. And, of course, no rest for the Canucks. They're in Toronto tonight. Viewers in the Vancouver region can see it on Sportsnet Pacific at 4:30 local, 7:30 Eastern. We'll talk more hockey with Eddie Olczyk, who will join us from Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky, where he's covering this weekend's Kentucky Derby. So we'll bug him for a few picks on the Ponies, as well as talking some hockey with Eddie O. The Raptors begin an important yet very tough four-game road trip tonight in Denver. You can see it on Sportsnet 1 with coverage starting 8:30 Eastern. Raptors two back of the Wizards for 10th after Washington won again last night. And with 10 games remaining in the season, the Raptors' path to the play-in tournament looks tougher than Charles Oakley right now. So Tank Nation, Raptors fans, it just might be time to brush up on your draft prospects. And speaking of drafts, that's exactly where we go for First Things First. First Things First. Before Favor Flav ever lost his way, and before he was diminished into being the Flava of Love dude to a lost generation, my guy was a soothsayer, an intuitive prognosticator who once warned us all, don't believe the hype. Now more than ever, we need to heed the words of William Drayton Jr. And it's not just 2021's cult of celebrity, it's the NFL draft. You see, every year we fall for the idea that simply selecting one of the overhyped quarterbacks at the top of the first round will save your franchise, despite overwhelming evidence that this is simply not true. Now, I'm not saying the quarterback position isn't important. It's remarkably important. I'm saying where you draft the quarterback is nowhere near as important as what you surround him with and how much patience you have with him. And guess what, kids? I have mountains of evidence to back it up. In fact, all I should have to say is the GOAT, Tom Brady, selected sixth round, 199th overall, and it should end there. Yeah, I could show the pictures everyone has seen of Brady at the draft combine in his gitch with the sign, or running his terrible 40, just to prove all this hype means very, very little. I mean, think of this. The NFL draft machine and all of its lieutenants had Giovanni Carmazzi over Tom Brady. They also had Chris Redman over Tom Brady and T. Martin over Tom Brady and. Hell, they call him the Brady Six, and Tom has never forgotten.
Chad Pennington was picked in the first round. Chris Redman was picked in the third round. Giovanni Carmazzi was picked in the third round, I think. T. Martin was picked in the fifth round. Spurgeon Wynn was picked. There was one other guy, small school guy, Mark Bulger.
He's never forgotten. So why do we forget? And it's not just Brady. Joe Montana, third round pick. He went 79 selections after Jack Thompson. Who? Yeah, Jack Thompson. And it's not just 20, 30, or 40 years ago. Russell Wilson, third round. Aaron Rodgers, 24th overall. Even Patrick Mahomes was taken after Mitchell Trubisky and Corey Davis and Mike Williams and John Ross. So as we walk into another draft where we're looking at quarterbacks going 1-2, maybe 1-2-3, 5 in the first 10 picks, I am not saying Trevor Lawrence isn't the guy or even Mac Jones. I am saying you're just as likely to find the gem at 23 or in the second day than you are taking him in the top 10 picks. Like every draft pundit would have you believe heading in. And I know you're sitting there shaking your head because they've programmed you to think this way, kids. That's right. For every John Elway and Peyton Manning, I know they're out there taking first overall legends, Hall of Famers. There's also a Jamarcus Russell and a Tim Couch or a David Carr or a Steven Barkowski. Yeah, I know he was okay, but he was no savior. Still don't believe me? All right. NFL.com named their top 25 QBs in the history of the game. 15 of them have come out of college in the last 50 years. Only 3 of them were selected in the top 10 picks of the draft. 3 out of the top 15 were picked in the top 10 picks in the draft. There were almost as many undrafted quarterbacks on the list at 2, Kurt Warner and Warren Moon. And if you look at the names on that list, you realize that the situation they were drafted into matters way more than any draft geek will ever tell you. We're led to believe that franchise-changing talent is there. And outside of Manning or Elway, simply not true. The team and coaches you surround them with, the patience you have with the quarterback, those are simply more important factors to finding the very best at quarterback than his draft position. Is Mahomes Mahomes without a good team moving up to get him and giving him some time to grow? Dan Marino, greatest rookie season of all time. At 27th overall, he joined a team that had won an average of 10 games in each of the previous 4 seasons. Good teams. Former number one overall pick, Drew Bledsoe, gets hurt. Tom Brady, who threw 3 passes in his first season, takes over. Is Brady Brady without New England early? How about Russell Wilson? One of the greatest defenses of our generation allowed him to grow without pressure. In fact, Wilson went to 2 Super Bowls in his first 3 seasons, won one of them, and threw for over 268 yards just once in the 8 playoff games it took him to get there. And the Seahawks lost that game. In fact, in the 3 games that he played on his way to his Super Bowl, he averaged 175 yards passing per game. I mean, think of all of the names chewed up and spit out because their teams around them just weren't ready. How many guys got hurt because they didn't have an O-line? What would Robert Griffin III have been? Carson Palmer with the Bengals. Remember what that was before finally getting out? And finally, patience. That's right, patience. Wilson is one of just 2 QBs on that top 15 list to start all 16 games in their rookie season, along with Peyton Manning. Wilson's patience came from his defense, but waiting and watching. Just waiting and watching. Without the pressure of having to win right away, is without a doubt a tie that binds the best. Rodgers, Mahomes, Brady, Montana, Breeze, Favre all sat and watched for a while. While others were seasoned in other leagues. Jim Kelly, Warren Moon, Kurt Warner, Steve Young, and even Marino, Even Marino waited a couple of weeks before he tore up the league. And before you go thinking that the depth of quarterback talent guarantees something, just look at the last two times five quarterbacks were taken in the first round. I will begin in 2018. Baker Mayfield, first overall. Sam Darnold, third. Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and Lamar Jackson, 32nd. Draft that one over again. Where do those dudes go? How about 1999? Here's your five in the first round. Tim Couch, Donovan McNabb, Achilles Smith, Dante Culpepper, and Cade McNown. And by the way, the one guy booed by his team's fans, Donovan McNabb. Right. Listen, this may be the greatest class ever. It might be 1983 all over again. And it might not. This mountain of evidence is not meant to take aim at Todd McShay or Mel Kiper or anyone else with better hair than I. It's to remind you that football is the ultimate team game, and that before Flava Flav was lost to New York or Pumpkin or Delicious, he was right when he uttered the phrase, "Don't believe the hype." First things first. All right, let's bring in our digital producer, Jesse Rubinoff. Enough babbling from your humble narrator. Before we get to the draft or anything else that we have lined up, are you too young or too Thornhill for Public Enemy?
I would say too Thornhill. I mean, what? I know Flava Flav. He's got the clock around his neck, but I'm more of like a Dave Matthews Band era Thornhill kind of guy.
Right.
I feel like I just exposed myself.
I know that there are Thornhill Public Enemy fans. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I don't want to paint too broad of a brush.
Yeah, which one of the two you are, because you could just be too young for Public Enemy.
Yeah.
The epitome of Public Enemy.
A little bit too young.
All right, so if I give you some Public Enemy, will you listen to it and come back and report back? Do you like hip-hop at all?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do.
I'm going to give you some Public Enemy, and I won't give you, like, the everyone's heard them songs, and I want you to come back and report to me. Because
I'll be spitting bars next thing you know in the studio.
I'm going to give you Black Steel in the Hour of Chaos, because I got a letter from the government the other day.
Oh, I love
it. All right.
Can't wait.
I know that we were talking about an amazing kind of, like, I don't even know if it was a moment in the Braves game from last night, or if it was a collection of moments that led to a moment.
Yeah, so I'm going to provide a little bit of context to exactly what happened with the situation between Freddie Freeman and Anthony Rizzo.
Okay.
Freeman, so the deal is he's struggling to start the year. He's hitting just .213 through his first 100 plate appearances. So to shake the slump, this is what he did, okay?
Okay.
He asked his eldest son, Charlie, to pick out his walk-up song for Wednesday's game. He chose a song by Bad Bunny. It has 153 million views on YouTube. I mean, I personally have never heard of it. I don't know, but Timmy, maybe.
Bad Buddy? Oh, yeah.
153 million views.
Grammys.
153 million views is big. Chelsea, Freddie's wife, tweeted out Charlie's reaction when he saw it come to fruition. Let's have a look.
So good.
You hear the beat, you see the laugh.
Yeah, the laugh is so good.
Yeah, it's amazing. So Freddie quote tweeted that, pointing out Charlie's laugh, obviously, which was outstanding. There it is, Freddie Freeman. Hard eyes, the best laugh. So Freddie reached base in 3 of 5 at-bats on Wednesday. So let's go to Thursday's game. Same walk-up song, and Freddie was on fire. 4 of 4 in the game, including a home run. So the Braves up big in the game. 10-0 lead. Things looking good for the Braves and the reigning MVP until the bottom of the seventh when Anthony Rizzo comes in to pitch. And these two aren't strangers. They had a friendly run-in just about a week ago. And by friendly, I mean friendly.
Okay.
Frederick! Freddie! Because as soon as he saw me, I'm like, Frederick! I just started dying.
Frederick. Too good. I mean, the league needs more guys like Rizzo and Freeman because this is so much fun.
They're buddies, though. The you can just tell. Huge smiles, just living life to its fullest,
making millions
of dollars and playing a game. Yeah.
So back to Thursday we go. It's a 2-2 count, and Rizzo gets Freeman swinging on a 61-mile-an-hour curveball coming up. And the lefty, oof, I mean, it's a gorgeous pitch, but it's 61 miles an hour. Smiles all around. Freeman maybe turning a little bit red, but he's okay because he finishes the game 4-for-5 and gets the win. And here's what they had to say about the matchup following the game.
I was on the on-deck circle, and I have a straight shot to Freddie, and I was kind of loosening my arm up, and I go, I want you, pointing at him.
He was staring at me when he was warming up. It was just so hard.
Freddie was hot 4-for-4, but at the end of the day, he was 4-for-5 with a punch out.
And, you know, I was able to hit Alex 64-mile-an-hour curveball. I couldn't hit Rizzo's 61-mile-an-hour curveball, so... It was a little bit under my hitting speed, but, you know, that's, you know, he'll have that over me forever now, unfortunately. We'll always have that, unfortunately, for me. He'll have that over my head forever, but that was one strikeout I'm okay with because it was fun.
So much credit to Freddie and how much fun he has playing this game, you know, being in that moment, too, and having fun with it. You know, this is try to have fun as much as you can in this game. You don't know how long it's going to last.
First off, those two dudes have the best attitude. And Freddie's 4-for-4 against real pitchers.
Ridiculous.
And then Rizzo comes in.
That might be it,
and
though.
Rings like, him up.
He's used to the fast pace. He's used to 90s, 100, triple digits.
Got him with the hook, too.
And he got him with the 61
mile.
Dropped
the hook on
him. Nasty. Yeah. Nasty pitch. So clearly a fun night between those two. And it got us thinking about, why don't we do a match game
nice.
With this?
I like it.
Let's hit it. The match game. With Freddie Freeman whiffing against Anthony Rizzo last night, yep. Striking out versus a position player is more embarrassing than blank. We've had it out for a little bit already. A lot of responses, but keep them coming. We'll address it later in the show. Why don't we have a look at a couple quick replies here.
Right.
Dano says, and this is extremely topical, more embarrassing than the way the Packers have treated Aaron Rodgers. Yes, indeed. See how that one plays out.
Dano, by the way, is getting into the match game a lot these days.
Yeah.
I think he's figured out
he's got
cheat codes.
Secret formula.
Yeah, he's got the cheat codes.
Striking out versus a position player is more embarrassing than Elvis Andrus's bottom of the 7th inning errors that led to this. Famous bat flip. Thank you, Calvin. And Goon says, striking out versus a position player is more embarrassing than starting and suspending a Super League in 48 hours.
I still don't believe that. Yeah. I still think that they got their $4 billion from the Champs League and said, all right.
We need to dig a little deeper on that story.
And
because
a couple of
there.
Guys are eating it because of it. But the rest of them were just like, let's just get the money from the Champs League. Love, peace, and hair grease.
Yeah.
And then these guys get screwed. All right, so that's the match game out there. Keep them coming. At Tim and Friends, striking out versus a position player is more embarrassing than blank. We'll bring them to you a little later on. And this is going to be a jam-packed show. Lots more to come on Tim and Friends. And boy, do I mean friends. Canucks and Leafs tonight, so we'll check in. Sean McKenzie from Scotiabank Arena. We'll hear from Gene Principe ahead of the Battle of Alberta. Plus, lots of football. It's draft night. Aaron Rodgers is on. Is Aaron Rodgers potentially going to get traded? Is he on the block? Arash Madani hits the film room with Jordan Palmer. Then it's two of the best, Adam Rank, Nate Burleson. But up next, Eddie Olczyk to talk a little puck and maybe some lady luck with a Kentucky Derby pick. It's Thursday. It's Tim and Friends.
Today's draft in Cleveland will be live and in person. Nearly 50,000 fans expected to attend the mostly outdoor event.
A lot of question marks, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unpredictability.
Here's Foligno trying to chip it in for Matthews. He scores! What a goal! Holy mackinaw! He has tremendous hands!
But the Sens are able to chip it off the boards. And out here's Tkachuk behind the defense. Brady Tkachuk scores! Now we got a fight. Tkachuk and McEwen.
Brady, does an item get checked off the bucket list tonight with the Gordie Howe?
Yeah, not gonna lie, it was pretty cool.
Are you ready? Let's get it started.
Well, it's going to be a fun show, kids, right here on Tim and Friends. We've got plenty of NFL talk and perhaps Aaron Rodgers being on the block going into the first round of the NFL draft. We'll bring that all to you right here on Tim and Friends. Our first guest today joins us from Louisville, Kentucky, where he is in town to walk the halls and the backstretch of the mecca of horse racing, Churchill Downs, but he is also one of the greatest hockey analysts in the game. Always fun catching up with the man they call Eddie O. Joining me for the first time on Tim and Friends, but a longtime friend, Eddie Olczyk. Eddie, how are we doing today?
Hey, buddy. How are you, Tim? Great to be with you.
Very good.
I'm just going to show you the setting here behind me. I'm going to move out of the way, but can you see the Twins players? Can you see them?
Look at
can you see them, Tim?
It looks like a fog has dropped just over the top of the building that houses the infamous and iconic Twins spot. So much so are they iconic, they name companies and tracks after them. You can bet at Twins spires. It's unbelievable. Looks beautiful there today. A little kind of a little fog over the track.
Yeah, we had a little bit of rain earlier today. Had a lot of rain last night. But it's going to be clear tomorrow for the Oaks when the Phillies run for the Lilies. Mm-hmm. And, of course, for the run for the Roses on Saturday. So the weather's supposed to be just spectacular. And remember last year, there were no fans here at Churchill Downs with the running of the Kentucky Derby in the first Saturday in September. It doesn't roll off the tongue like the first Saturday in May. And just for the record, last year, Tim, I was in the bubble in Edmonton.
Right.
And I actually worked for NBC
at
the bubble.
Yeah.
In the rink, an empty rink, freezing my you-know-what off, trying to pick horses in there. But here I am now, so it's great, and looking forward to our coverage coming up this weekend.
Yeah, what a difference a year makes. All right, listen, I want to put the Kentucky Derby on the back burner for a flash, but you know I got a little horse racing in my blood. We're going to have to walk through this a little later on. Let's start with some hockey. And I know you played with Brady Tkachuk's dad. I was just ranting and raving about, like, what this kid's doing at 21. Like, what do you remember anything about Brady when he was a kid, or do you see any of his dad in him? Like, what's going on here?
Oh, I see 120% of Big Walt, Big Keith Tkachuk. You know, when I watch Brady play, I mean, I see an absolute spitting image of his dad. And before you brought me on, I was able to see his, you know, Gordie Howe hat trick there. And I said, I've seen that fish before. I've seen that move by his father. And look at this. I mean, the Ottawa Senators they're in a great spot with this young guy. I mean, this guy is going to be the leader of this team for many, many years. He plays in any situation. He has courage. He has high skill. He can move up and down the ice with a big guy. And just think how much better, Tim, he will be when you finally get some better players around him. And that's an important part for any young player, because some guys, look, if he's wired like his dad, you know, he wants to do everything, right? Like, he wants to be the guy. But sometimes you need those really good veteran guys in there to help him, to, you know, to kind of hold the reins on that thoroughbred every once in a while, but also to show him the ropes. You know, like, look, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
This is how you go about it. We want you on the ice. You can intimidate. You can play physical. He's got all the attributes. Look, I love both Tkachuk boys, and I'll just say this. There's no doubt in my mind that both of those kids will be on Team USA at the Olympics, if indeed the NHL goes to the Olympics in February.
Without a doubt. And it's funny because I remember reading Beating the Odds by Eddie Olczyk, and you kept talking about those good young teams in Toronto and how maybe a couple veterans. I'm going to talk about how do you do this in Ottawa properly? Like, they need to make sure that they start surrounding, like, better. Listen, I have nothing against Dadonov, but you got to do better with what you're surrounding them with, right?
Yeah, 100%. And look, I think the philosophy that I would live by is, look, you need to tell ownership or whoever's making the decision, you need to tell them what they need to know, not what they want to hear.
Right.
And if you want to turn things around, you got to go ahead and put you-know-what on the table and try to figure this thing out. I mean, we know it's a great hockey market. They've gone through a tough time here recently. But not too far ago, I remember them losing in the conference finals, and they were one goal away from going to the Stanley Cup finals. So I think they got a lot of good pieces there. But again, I think that you got to get the right mix of players. And look at the world we're living in now, Tim, with the flat cap, everybody coming out of the pandemic, obviously no fans, up there in Canada, starting to get back to some normalcy here, getting some people in some buildings here in the United States. Look at, they're probably still, unfortunately, probably another couple of years away, but look at, I'm building around that guy and trying to figure it out. You need somebody in there to know which guys you need to go out and get and help insulate a young player like Brady Tkachuk. Because if you do that, you're going to start turning the tide and you're going to get people that want to play. If I'm a free agent, okay. I spent half of my career playing in Canada as American. I had my best years playing in Toronto and Winnipeg. I would go back to those cities in a heartbeat if I ever got the opportunity for whatever position there may be. But honestly, you got to get somebody that wants to go there and say, hey, look, this is why we can be great. This is why we can win a Stanley Cup. And when you look at a guy like Brady Tkachuk, you sit there and go, that's the guy we're going to build around, and you'd be able to move from there.
And there's other guys. I mean, Connor Brown's been unbelievable.
Oh, yeah,
Thomas
sure.
Chabot's been right. a great young defenseman. All right, so it's interesting because yesterday we were kind of having a chat about the East and all of the blue bloods there. Is there any way to know what the best division in hockey is right now?
I would like to answer that, Tim, but no. I would say no. Yeah. Yeah, you can't really. I mean, when you look at the East, to me, I think the Capitals, and they've proven here recently, which I think has been amazing, especially with the Grade 8 being out of the lineup, Tim, they've been able to win 1-0 games. Now, if I would have said that to anybody or to you 2 months ago, 5 months ago, you know, everybody would say, well, what about the goaltending, right? You got two young goaltenders, Samsonov and Vanacek. Are they going to be able to get it done? The one I would answer that is, look, at nobody knew anything about Jordan Binnington. Nobody knew anything about Matt Murray a couple of years, and he won two Stanley Cups the last time I checked. So I look at Washington as just having a slight edge over, you know, those other three teams, the Islanders, the Penguins, and who else am I forgetting? And Boston, Bruins, I'm sorry. Yeah. And, yeah, and, you know, the aspect of was what Brian McClellan, the general manager, did last summer. He addressed the back end. They needed to get some veteran guys in there. What'd they do? They went out and got Big Z. They got Justin Schultz there. And a real underrated guy they brought in there that had won a Stanley Cup with the Blackhawks a couple of years ago was Trevor Van Riemsdyk. He's only played 13 or 14 games, but you bring in one of those veteran guys like we were talking about the Ottawa Senators, Tim, and Brady Tkachuk, a guy like TVR that knows, hey, look, I might not play a lot, but they have the confidence that they can slide him in there because you're going to need 7 or 8 defensemen to win the Stanley Cup. And I really think that they improved themselves when they went out and got some more experienced defensemen. And then up front, I would put them with any top 12 forwards in the entire National Hockey League. So for me, question mark and goal, no doubt, but they've proven recently here they can win 1-0 games, but the experience on the back end and the depth up front, I think Washington's the team to beat in the Eastern Conference.
Our old friend Eddie Olchuk joining us here on Tim and Friends. Our old friend Brian Burke, and market you know well in Pittsburgh, and since him and Ron Hextall have gotten there, they played some pretty good hockey. What's been the difference in Pittsburgh?
Well, I think it really goes hand in hand with Brian Dumoulin coming back in the lineup, Tim, for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I don't think – look, if you would poll a top 20 defenseman in the entire National Hockey League, I think you'd be hard-pressed to – anybody would have Brian Dumoulin in your top 20. He's – look, this guy's pretty good. He has helped Chris Letang a lot. Chris Letang's game was suffering without Brian Dumoulin. Now, all of a sudden, Mike Sullivan, who I think will be one of the finalists for Coach of the Year without question – in my opinion, Brian Dumoulin is such an important part of that team because I think he settles down Chris Letang. They've had the experience. They've won Stanley Cups. The goaltending, to me, is still a question mark there. Jari and DeSmith.
Yeah.
But when you got the leadership of Sidney Crosby and they're getting healthy, right? Like, that's the biggest thing with the Penguins is they finally are getting healthy. They went out and traded Hexie and Berkey went out and got Jeff Carter, a guy that's won before. He can still skate as well as any player in the entire National Hockey League. And you get Malkin back here at some point. It sounds like he's getting closer. Jake Guentzel is an outstanding two-way player. That line of Crosby, Guentzel, and Rust are as good as a line there is in the National Hockey League. So I think the arrow is certainly pointing up. And again, it's playoff time, Tim. So there's a pretty good chance the Penguins and Capitals are going to fight each other come playoff time.
Eddie Olchuk joining us here. All right. So I said I got a little horse racing in the blood. And in this pandemic thing that we have gone through here, I've kind of readjusted it. I actually made a bucket list. And Churchill Downs is on the bucket list. I'd like to make it with my old man who's big into the horses like a lot of Maltese guys are. What's the best part about Churchill Downs, which is basically the mecca of horse racing? Yeah.
Well, I think it's all about the setting and the people here, Tim. As I said, we're probably going to have maybe 45, or I think I said it earlier, if I did, excuse me, but I think the anticipation is 45,000 people here. Capacity, we had 170,000 people 2 years ago, the last time that we were able to have everybody here in 2019. But look, if you're a people person and you enjoy to people watch for a lot of different reasons, whether people are having a few too many pops or you just like enjoy watching people and also wagering every once in a while on these incredible equine athletes, people have told me, I mean, I'm not saying thousands, but I'm going to say over 1,000. that they've come for the Kentucky Derby the first time when they're maybe a little bit like an old guy like me in their early 50s, they say, how in the hell have I not come here earlier?
Yeah.
Because it is a bucket list without a doubt. So I think it's about the people and the ambiance of Churchill Downs. And I guarantee you, you're going to have a lot of fun. That's for sure.
Yeah. My wife always says, like, what? Why would you go to the track? I go, people watching. The people watching at the track is the greatest place to go watch people outside of Vegas. All right. Time now for Inside the Lines, brought to you by Sports Interaction, Canada's odds maker, 19 plus. Please play responsible. Eddie will be at the Kentucky Derby. So let's talk about the odds. Essential Quality is a heavy favorite, 2-1 morning line favorite, followed by Rock Your World, 5-1, Known Agenda at 7-1. Highly Motivated, Hot Rod Charlie, Medina Spirit are the only other picks currently under 17-1. So there are some long shots. There is some value on the board. 10 horses currently at 20-1 or above, including Keep Me in Mind at 35-1 with some Canadian connections there. So, Eddie, I ask you, when you look at the big board, and you've done this before and you've helped us out before, what do you see?
Well, you're putting the heat on me, huh, Tim? Boy, oh boy. Okay, so here we go. I'm not going to use the favorite in my top two positions. Essential Quality is a perfect 5-for-5, 2-1 right now. He's the favorite. He's the horse of the year for two-year-olds last year. He got the Eclipse Award. His last race about 5 or 6 weeks ago in Keeneland in Lexington, Kentucky, not far from here, I thought he was all out to win that race, Tim. Did he leave his Derby race on the track 5 or 6 weeks ago? That's what I think. I'm going to use him, but I'm going to use him third or fourth. I'm going to go with the horse Known Agenda, and there is a hockey tie to this horse, and I'll get to that in a second. Known Agenda is a much different horse here over the course of the last couple of races. He has added blinkers, and since he's added blinkers, to keep him a little bit more focused, get him into the race a little bit more, he is 2-for-2. He won the Florida Derby about 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
The connections, they've won the Kentucky Derby before. Todd Pletcher, the trainer, he has 4 starters in the Kentucky Derby.
Get a data boost from Fido with 5 hours of unlimited data at no extra cost. That's 5 extra hours of data every month. It's enough for a whole podcast episode, or 5. On all voice and data plans, only with Fido.
Ownership Group won in 2017 with Always Dreaming. The ownership group is owned by Vinny and Teresa Viola, who happen to own the Florida Panthers, who were having a heck of a season under Joel Quenneville down there in Sunrise. Yeah. So for me, a lot of my wagers, I know he's coming out of the number one post position, Tim, and I don't want to go too inside baseball here with people, but right, the number one post position has been not good at Churchill Downs. There's only been one winner since 1986,
wow,
that is one out of post position number one.
Tough.
And
yep,
that was great. That was the great Ferdinand with the great Billy Shoemaker. Will Shoemaker was riding that horse in 86. But I think this horse is athletic enough. I think this horse will be able to fight, to get off the rail, get position, and be able to make one run. I want him to go fast. I think there's going to be a fast pace. Midnight Bourbon, I think, will be the horse that sets the pace. But I'm hoping Known Agenda can maybe sit fifth or sixth and make a big run and turn for home. And 7-1 or 8-1, I think, is a great price. So it's all about value. And I'll give you one long shot if I can, Tim.
Okay.
The number 5 horse, Sainthood, which is also trained by Todd Pletcher. I think this horse had a horrible race in his last. He's only run 3 times. He's been training extremely well. And if I can get 40-1 and he can hit the board, Tim, I might need a wheelbarrow to walk out of here on Saturday.
Well, that sounds like a try to me. Throw them into a box and I'm good to go, because you got to.
And Hot Rod Charlie, I better throw the 9 in.
Okay.
I do like the 9 as well. I like the 9. I mean, right now I'm going to go 1, 9, 5, 14. Those are going to be my numbers.
Listen, the 4 horse box gets a little too rich for my blood, okay, Eddie O? But I might have to wheel something here. I might have to wheel something.
Hey, just put together 12 toonies and you're okay.
All right, buddy. Always great catching up with you. Thank you for doing this. Enjoy the Oaks. Enjoy the Derby. I know you love it.
See you, Tim. Thanks, pal.
There is Eddie Olczyk, one of the best in the business when it comes to hockey or the horses, which is kind of my family right there. We'll continue the hockey chat. Gene Principe, Bay, Sean McKenzie in a bit. But up next, striking out Striking out versus a position player is more embarrassing than blank. Match games. Some of the best dances next right here with Jesse Rubinoff on Tim and Friends. match game just trip me up all the time. Welcome back to Tim and Friends. Plenty of NFL talk on the way, but don't look now. The Ottawa Senators are not the laughingstock many thought they would be this season. Another impressive win against Vancouver last night got them out of the North basement and has the fan base excited and the rest of the league kind of sort of taking notice. And young core is talented and getting better every game. And let's give credit where it's due. Yes, Pierre Dorion is drafted pretty well, but we all know you need a couple of smart trades and some good free agent pickups to take a team from pretty good or okay to great. And while Dorion's track record with those things isn't as stellar as getting those young guys on board, Mark Stone trade isn't aging very well. And just look at the list of players that he brought in this offseason. Big ticket guys like Matt Murray and Evgeny Dadonov haven't exactly overwhelmed. In fact, they've probably underwhelmed. The on-ice product leaves room for optimism in the nation's capital, but things like this remind us that they are still the Sens. There are banners with the old logo and long-gone players like Ron Hainsey, Bobby Ryan, and Mark Borowiecki still hanging outside the Canadian Tire Center. Can the promise of, quote, unparalleled success by Eugene Melnyk actually come to fruition with this leadership? Or are we headed for more misery in our nation's capital? I'm guessing Melnyk and Dorion will have a huge say on just how that goes over the next couple of off seasons. It'll be interesting. We'll see if there's a sense of optimism in Ottawa. I didn't even get the chuckle. I just got a from Jesse Rubinoff, who rejoins me now. I know Eddie Olczyk kind of touched on this in Ottawa, but do you get the sense that these next two off seasons are going to be big for this team, and that kind of scares the bleep out of any Sens fan?
I think if you're a Sens fan, and I know one that works on the team, his expectations are extremely low moving forward. I think you're happy about what you've seen from Brady Tkachuk, and there's a couple good pieces.
That sucks.
But your expectations remain low.
That sucks.
It starts at the top too. So,
but that's what I'm saying. How beat up are Sens fans that even with like the rest of the league is looking at your team right now and saying, "Hey, that's a good young team."
Yeah.
Those are some really good pieces, and you're like, "I have no faith."
Sometimes it's better to have low expectations, and maybe they surprise.
Lowered expectations.
Look at that.
Trust me, I know. All right, let's get back to the match game.
Yeah, a couple quick ones. Okay, match game. We sent it out. Striking out versus a position player is more embarrassing than blank.
I got one.
Yeah.
More embarrassing than my throw to break. Where I screwed up the match game.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
On the way to break. Anyways.
Nah, it was fine. Okay. So, striking out versus a position player is more embarrassing than Sid Sixero's grade 8 picture. Who am I kidding? Nothing is more embarrassing than that, says Rain Man. Striking out versus a position player is more embarrassing than, Ken Reed, bragging about and constantly displaying a 31-year-old junior golf trophy on national television.
Ripping himself. Ripping nice. Himself.
Very nice. It doesn't end there, though.
Okay.
Striking out versus a position player is more embarrassing than being the guys Ken Reed beat to secure the Pictou County golf trophy. And just a couple
Has he not
Instagram.
Told us it was, like, only three other guys?
Yeah. Odds were good. The odds were in his favor. Striking out versus a position player is more embarrassing than being a Buffalo Sabres fan. That's from Instagram.
Oh, nice.
And one more. Striking out versus a position player is more embarrassing than finding out the girl you're dating is your cousin.
Oh, my God.
But he clarified.
What?
Happened to a friend, not
yeah,
me.
Yeah, sure.
Nice cover, Will. Nice cover, buddy. Pretty good. That's all I got for now.
All right. Keep them coming here, kids, at Tim and Friends. The match game will run throughout the show. I don't know if you've heard, but apparently Aaron Rodgers is on the block, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock. It's NFL draft night, and we are going to go inside the film room with Arash Madani and Jordan Palmer on Trevor Lawrence, who is going to go first overall. No consternation, no hand-wringing. They know exactly what they're doing with that first overall pick. Also, coming up after the break, we'll hit the ice. Couple games in the North Division tonight. Gene Principe tees up the Battle of Alberta while Sean McKenzie joins us ahead of the Maple Leafs and the Canucks. This is Tim and Friends across the Sportsnet family of channels. Thank you very much, Sheepdogs, back here for another full hour, Tim and Friends, and we will go heavy on the NFL draft coming up. Rash Badani, Adam Rank, Nate Burleson all joining the fray ahead of what should be a fascinating night in Cleveland. Throw Aaron Rodgers on the mix and you got yourself some fun. Should also be a fascinating night in Edmonton as the Flames and Oilers hook up. Battle of Alberta, you can see it nationally on Sportsnet, starting with Hockey Central at 8:30 Eastern, 6:30 local. Connor McDavid's chase for 100 points in 56 games amazingly continues. He's now 16 points shy with 9 games to go. One man who's never shy is our own Gene Principe, and he joins us from Edmonton. How are you, Gino?
Tim, you called it. First of all, always a pleasure to be with you. Battle of Alberta, bud.
There you go. I wondered what the gloves were doing.
Yeah. I have. You know, I will say this. I haven't had a fight since grade 5, and I'm 54 now. And from what I can remember, I lost that fight. So these gloves,
they're not golden.
They haven't been used. I had to wipe the dust off them.
Yeah.
No, they're not golden at all, bud. That was a bit of a jab by you. Listen, if you're the Calgary Flames coming into tonight's game, you're going to feel boxed in if you don't win. Because the Flames, you know, this is what I think. I think if the Calgary Flames had 82 games, more time under Daryl Sutter, I think they would have found really the right feel, the right mix, and they would have pushed for a playoff spot and maybe even had one. But it's only a 56-game schedule, and so they probably feel like they've taken a couple of boom shots to the gut, some body shots. They have to win, almost win outright. And I loved it this morning. Matthew Tkachuk was asked, what do they have to do? He goes, we have to win. Montreal has to lose. Case closed, period. Point done. There's nothing much else to say about Calgary and their situation. Tim, it's a privilege to be on the show. It's a privilege to have a show like you have. And it is truly a privilege to watch Connor McDavid. I mean, this is something incredible that we have seen in this city before, and now we're seeing it again. How lucky to have a 99 and now a 97. And listen, I'm not saying that 97 is going to have 99's numbers, but if we compare him to anyone, let's drop the comparison term and just put him in the same sentence. He's the guy. Gretzky's a huge fan of Connor McDavid. Mark Spector wrote a nice article on Sportsnet.ca about how the great one feels about Connor McDavid. And it's just really something that we're watching them push for second, maybe first.
Maybe.
But Toronto will have to falter a bit. But I think in some ways, Tim, everyone's more excited about what you said. Connor pushing for 100, the McCentury Club chasing 100, count to 100, whatever way you want to call it. It's a lot of fun, and the fact that they're winning just adds to it.
It's amazing to watch, and I'm not gonna play into this and say that he's knocked out the competition when it comes to the Hart Trophy, although I think I just did do that. But he's what he's doing right now is also, like, it's one thing to put up the numbers, but it's also jaw dropping the way he does it. And sometimes in our fandom, we get lost in numbers and wins and results and all that crap that goes with it that we love, and we love to, you know, to get all worked up about. But just watching him work is almost beauty. Like the way he does it is amazing.
I agree. If you're, and unfortunately people aren't in the buildings here and where he's been playing throughout the All-Canadian Division, but if you're sitting at home in your basement, you know, outside on the deck in your living room, as the old saying goes, you don't need your whole seat. You just need the edge of it, because that's what Connor McDavid has you feeling like. Like, what's next? What's he going to do? How is he going to do it? Wait a minute. He can't do that. Hold on. He just did do that.
Yeah.
And so it's incredible to watch him, to cover him. And I really have seen him sort of grow into not only a great player, but a great leader who has so many things that he wants to do. The 100-point plateau, he kind of said it the other day. He's like, ah, it's not a big deal. Now, if you're Connor McDavid and you're as competitive as he is, I'm sure internally he's thinking, hey, I want to get there. I'm going to try and get there. But what's most important is the fact that he wants to be on a winning team, that he, along with Leon Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and the rest of the players who wear orange on some nights are thinking, hey, we want to get into the playoffs. Once we get there, we want to do something. And with Connor, you never know. The Oilers can definitely deliver, boom, a knockout punch.
Gino, always great catching up with you. Thank you, buddy. Look at him dance.
See you, pal.
I could tell you've never fought before. The hands are the last ones, five, grade five. There is Gene Principe in Edmonton. The crazy thing about Connor McDavid and the 100-point plateau is that he might sit a few games. I mean, where they are in the standings, I don't know if you try and get him to get to that 100, but we'll see the way the Oilers play it. All right, to basketball, and the Raptors are back in action tonight, taking on the Nuggets. It's the middle of five games in seven nights. Love how the music hit. You're watching on Sportsnet 1, beginning with Raptors pregame, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Freddie VanVleet will miss tonight's game, while Paul Watson, Gary Trent Jr., and Chris Boucher remain out. With just 10 games left in the season, seems like it's done. It's a big one for the Raptors. Without Freddie V, though, two games back of the Wizards, final playoff spot in the East, the jam could be done. All right, off day for the Blue Jays, which allowed the organization to reconsider some things like changing the start times in their games in Dunedin because of those wonderful Florida sunsets. Team announcing all of their 7:07 p.m. games at TD Ballpark have been switched to 7:37 Eastern time, beginning with tomorrow's series with the Braves, while the 1 p.m. games remain unchanged. So put that into your calendar. All right, the Jays have also activated Nate Pearson from the IL and optioned him to the club's alternate training site. So some good news there. He will join the AAA Bisons as they try and build him back up. Jays could definitely use some starters with Ryu now on the IL as well. So hopefully he is in the majors soon and rebuilt, ready to go. All right, let's get you caught up to date on some highlights going on today. Baltimore afternoon game. O's and the Yankees, we begin quickly. Baltimore up 1-0. Ryan Mountcastle, shallow fly ball. Clint Frazier, glove. Exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you. Trey Mancini continues his hot start. His fifth big fly. He had hits in four straight at-bats. Make it five. Ties it at two. Bottom of the eighth now. Man on first. Austin Hayes, base hit up the middle. Cedric Mullins on his horse. Got the wave. Scores what looks like the game-winning run. Top of the ninth, two on, two out. Yankees down to their last strike. Check this out. Gleyber Torres, a shot. Now, if this doesn't bounce over the wall, the game's over. LeMahieu would have scored easily, but we're tied at threes. We go to extra innings, and after bunting over the runner, they win it in the bottom of the 10th. Orioles, Mullins on third. Mullins flies out. Ramon Urias on third scores. Orioles win 4-3, your final. Have you ever heard this before? A Tampa pitching prospect looks good. Shane McClanahan, no relation to Rue, I don't think. He struck out in the top of the first. Mark Kanya on a 101-mile-an-hour fastball with movement. Four innings, five strikeouts. Top of the third, though, they got to him. 1-0 Rays went, oh, look at that throw. Brett Phillips comes up gunning from right field, and they got Tony Kemp at home to keep it 1-0. Top nine, though, tied at two. Matt Chapman goes off the wall. Jed Lowry scores from first. Oakland up 3-2, so the bottom of the ninth, two out. Could the Rays do it as well? Tying run on third. Lou Trevino gets Kevin Kiermaier looking at strike three to end the game. Athletics hang on for a 3-2 victory. All right, back to hockey. I promised Sean McKenzie, and when I promise Sean McKenzie, I deliver Sean McKenzie. Canucks and Leafs regionally on Sportsnet Pacific tonight. The Canucks still 10 points back of the Canadiens with five games in hand. But after losing 3 of 4 to the Sens, playoff push seems to have halted. Braden Holtby gets the start tonight. Coley Lind, a 2017 second-round pick, will make his NHL debut. Leafs, meanwhile, have clinched the playoff spot. I'm distracted. We've got Sean McKenzie here. Let's go down and send it to him at Scotiabank Arena. Sean, what's going on? What happened here?
It wouldn't be the first time I've distracted someone with all of this. That was really creepy. I'm sorry.
Let's move on and forget that didn't happen.
Yeah, my brain's a little mush. But you're right. The Maple Leafs did clinch a playoff spot, which means it is time for some maintenance days. We will see a very different-looking Maple Leafs team here tonight. Jake Muzzin and Morgan Rielly out on the back end. Timothy Liljegren draws in. Ben Hutton makes his Maple Leafs debut. Up front, Nick Foligno is out. Pierre Engvall comes in. David Rittich gets the start. Jack Campbell will not dress. He is out as maintenance. That is the trend. Now, I didn't have any of that written down in case you were wondering. That's just a blank piece of paper. That was all for the dramatics right there, the list. Don't expect, though, moving forward, the Maple Leafs to be giving guys a bunch of maintenance. So expect them not to be giving a lot of maintenance days, really easing out. They're down. I think this is just a one-off to get some guys rested, Tim.
You turned it into the Mime Network there for a second as we lost your audio, but it returned just in time to say thank you very much, Sean, and I love the props of the blank sheet of paper that you actually wrote nothing down on.
People prefer not to hear me anyways, so you are all better off for the microphone error.
It's all looks this time around, Shawnee McKenzie, all looks. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you.
There is Sean McKenzie and a bubbling mic at Scotiabank Arena. He has been amongst the best friends of the show, early going, and better yet, he rarely comes empty-handed. He comes bearing gifts once more, ladies and gentlemen. I'm guessing what is a somewhat happy Vikings fan, even before the draft starts. Here's Arash Madani, everybody. Hey.
What a day. What a day. What a day.
He's beaming already. What's going on?
Well, it's a sad day in Green Bay, Wisconsin today, Tim. It's such an unfortunate turn of events. Right. Aaron's not happy.
Okay, but that doesn't mean
Aaron wants to go. Aaron didn't get his own way, so he's going to pack up and go home.
Pack up and go home. I see what you did there, Madani.
Hosting the NFC title game isn't good enough for Aaron.
It doesn't mean he's gone.
He doesn't want to come. He doesn't want to come back. It's too bad. Sorry, Aaron. Bye.
I don't know if you should be spiking the football just yet.
Well, I don't know if I'm spiking the football, but when it's time on a celebratory occasion such as these,
what are you doing?
You can't buy regular champagne flutes because it's COVID, but plastic disposable ones, no problem. That's really? going to stop the pandemic. What? Thank you, Doug Ford.
Right. What is that true that you went to buy real? What are you doing?
We are, Mr. McAuliffe, it has been a generation that I have had to deal with that smirking, mustached, discount, double check, bleep and bleep and bleep.
Right.
So today, right here, we are popping bottles.
Are you, hold on a second. Is this? Yes. Is there a little premature jocularity going on here?
I don't care. I'm a Vikings fan, and this is as close to a championship as we're going to get.
Arash Madani has a champagne bottle in studio.
You know what? Adam Rank's joining us. Yeah. We'll wait for Rank. He's a Bears fan.
Oh, wow. Yes. We'll see if he thinks that this is a little premature.
How Aaron Rodgers is this? It's the day of the NFL draft.
Okay, I've heard this before.
32 kids, right. Their dreams are going to come true. He had the entire offseason. What did Aaron do? Knew the entire focus of the football world was on, and let's make it about me.
I've heard this because last year also he was accused of doing this. Like he couldn't just let
Some
Jordan
Some call that
Love.
A pattern of behavior.
Right. Couldn't, but this might not be him. And hear me out on this one.
Okay. I'm just going to open up these plastic champagne flutes while I listen to you.
This might have been something that he had told the team a while ago, and they are now just preparing their fans for a potential trade that could take place here.
So what Schefter's reported is not one team has made an offer to Green Bay. If not one official, there's been talk, like they've said,
we heard rumors that
the 49ers had, had
49ers had asked and said, is Rodgers available? There hasn't been an offer on the table. 49ers are on the clock in 2 hours with the third overall pick.
But hold on. You know as well as I do.
One, two, three, four. We'll pour one for rank.
That sometimes as he...
Six.
There you go, six.
You know what? We'll pour one for Brett Favre while we're at it.
Yeah, too. But it could be, you know as well as I do, it could be where this has been well known within the organization and or the player for a while, and it's just now getting out because you want to hear what you're going to get in offers on draft day.
Trey Wingo reported that Aaron Rodgers was told that they were going to trade him this offseason and that everything went to hell in a handbasket. And that now there's miscommunication all over the place, and this has gone to all crap, and now it's gotten to this point.
Right.
This has been mismanaged and bungled by the Packers. There's no question. But you are the reigning MVP.
For over a year.
You had home field through the playoffs. You continue to win games. What's your problem?
Get me a receiver. It's the same thing last year.
You have... probably
are you wearing,
the best receiver are you in football.
Are you wearing a Diggs t-shirt right now?
Diggs, and sideline, touchdown,
right.
And, unbelievable.
And not realizing what an extra receiver can help a team? Like, I think the Buffalo Bills and Stephon Diggs might be an example of when you add another weapon, it helps. Especially in this day and age in the National Football League.
So he didn't get his receiver, so now he's going to go home.
Well, no, I think it's been he hasn't gotten his receiver since they drafted the one that you're talking about.
So now I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Yeah.
You know what I'd love for the Packers to do? Not trade him.
All right. Listen, I feel like you're grinding an axe. Actually, I know you're grinding an axe.
I'm openly grinding an axe. I brought champagne. Today is a day of celebration.
When I said that you were coming bearing gifts, it wasn't the champagne. It was the story that you did with Jordan Palmer.
Is it? Yes. And somebody else is going to be a franchise quarterback today. Trevor Lawrence, we've known for the last 3 years. It was a matter of when he was going to be the number one overall pick. Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback from Clemson, won a national championship his first year. And in February...
I love how you've changed now. You've gotten so serious.
In February, after Aaron Rodgers didn't get to another Super Bowl, because he's only been to one in his entire illustrious career, Trevor Lawrence showed up to Orange County, California, and talked to our friend Jordan Palmer and said, I want to work with you. And for the next 100 days, it was Palmer and Lawrence who worked together. They worked together in Trevor Lawrence's pro day. And I sat down in this studio a couple of days ago when it was a lot darker than it is now and talked to Palmer about what he learned of the new face of the franchise in Jacksonville.
How many titles do the Vikings have?
Jordan Palmer, quarterback coach, draft training expert.
He mentors and tutors all of these fine quarterback prospects.
And you want to hear from somebody who knows what he's talking about. Jordan Palmer is the guy.
Well, for the last 3 years, Trevor Lawrence has been on everybody's radar, Jordan. He has caught nobody by surprise, and you got your chance to work with him beginning back in February. What have the points of emphasis been for you two to get Trevor ready for the NFL game?
Well, you know, I think this one, he's had a very unorthodox draft training preparation period just because he had a labrum tear and shoulder surgery and all the rehab that comes with that. But we had some time before the surgery and we had some time after the surgery. We've just really been able to isolate individual throwing mechanics.
That's one of the more difficult throws and he can make it look easy.
He's dropping dimes all over the field.
It's not about fixing things that are broken, but just trying to figure out a way, and this is what I really try and do with any quarterback, is how do they get more efficient? And so each guy has different things that they're doing that are kind of robbing them of efficiency. So we try and identify those things and create new movement patterns so that they can, one, work on it while they're out here, and then two, work on it with their coaches when they get back to playing real football.
Off play action, Lawrence down the seam, wants Rodgers, touchdown!
This is the throw that he just couldn't make as a freshman, even when teams said he could go number one overall then. You talk about changing
and tweaking the mechanics and the movement. What have you done since he was able to do this in the fall to get him now pro ready for spring?
Well, I think it's just refining things. You know, Trevor has always been able to push the ball down the field, but when young guys, whether they're young in college, but also even high picks, rookies often struggle pushing the ball down the field. Guys who never threw a fade out of bounds in college still do their rookie year. There's something about just the speed of the game where guys get excited and they push the ball a little bit too far down the field. But, you know, Trevor, I think, really he had his most dominant weapons around him his freshman year, and it was a little less his sophomore year. And then this last year with him, I think he's had to get more accurate as he hasn't had those top 10 type talent receivers this past season. Trevor really had to dial in his footwork and really had to get more detailed with his accuracy.
Trevor Lawrence is a generational talent. He's 6'6", 240 pounds, can run, throws the ball with accuracy and power.
He's going to be the first pick in the draft.
Oh yeah, lock it in.
So the Jacksonville Jaguars, the perpetual bottom feeder of the league, they're starting over again. Urban Meyer comes in, clean slate. They're getting themselves a franchise quarterback. What in the makeup of Trevor Lawrence tells you that he can take the keys of this organization and finally take the Jaguars to places they have never been as an organization?
He's leaving college football as the face of college football for really the last 3 years. And so I think the magnitude of all of that, having to be on all the time, being the number one recruit in the country, all that experience, then drop him in Jacksonville, Florida, in a small market with low expectations. And I think it's going to feel less and smaller and easier for him, which means you're taking incredible talent with an amazing resume. And then you put him in Jacksonville in a division that's up for grabs. And I just think it's a really exciting time for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
He's a special player, probably more a special person.
I'm used to it. I'm used to dealing with those pressures and people coming at me from every different angle. So I think I'm pretty prepared for it.
You've worked with Trevor now basically every day for the last 3 months. What have you learned about the makeup of the dude that tells you, hey, he can do this?
I think what's incredible is just how authentic he is. He doesn't feel the need to be anything for anybody. And it's so easy for these young guys in their 20s to get caught up on everyone else's expectations and everyone else's perception of them. Whatever the conversation is around Trevor, negative, horrible, whatever it ends up being at times, I don't think it's ever going to affect what he brings to that building every single day and what he believes in himself. And that right there is about as good a foundation as you can have when selecting somebody number one overall.
Well, when it comes to football, when it comes to evaluating talent, we always care what Jordan Palmer thinks. He's our quarterback consultant.
Great job. Great insight. By the way, everyone writing in, I thought the purple jacket and the Stephon Diggs shirt would give it away. Arash Madani is a Vikings fan. That's why he's popping the champagne. Oh my goodness.
God.
That's
all
what,
over the set.
I should be used to that. I'm from Scarborough. I hear that now. All right. After the break, we'll drive a dive a little bit deeper into tonight's NFL draft. Adam Rank checking in on the latest rumors and his take on what should be a wild night. Madani's popping bottles. He's a Vikings fan. That's why he's doing that. Arash Madani is a Vikings fan. That's why he's popping the champagne. Oh my goodness.
God.
That's all over the set.
Madani is pouring champagne in here. We got NFL Network's Adam Rank joining us. Madani, a little premature, perhaps, on the celebration. A little premature, perhaps.
Mr. Adam Rank, a fan of a team in the NFC North Division. Mr. Rank, salute to you. Amigo.
Cheers to you. I wish I had something else to cheers with you.
We are pouring you a glass here.
Oh, Mon that's ami. So great. This is a huge, momentous occasion for all of us, and I appreciate
it?
You.
This guy's a Bears fan now. We got a Vikings fan and a Bears
16
fan.
16 years of dealing with that jerk, and now
are you spiking footballs here, Rank? What are you doing?
Oh, my gosh. I think that this is amazing. I wanted to know. I knew once my phone started blowing up and people were asking me about my take on Aaron Rodgers, do you want Aaron Rodgers now? I'm like, what happened? Let me guess. He's upset with his organization. And you know what? There it is. Adam Schefter tweeted out earlier today that Aaron Rodgers does not want to go back to this team. And it's been funny because I've been sparring not only with Packers fans, but former Packers players, and not my friend James Jones, who joined me on this show, but yes, some other guy, like some random tight end that used to play for the team, was upset at me. And the problem is, and I know that I'm a Bears fan, so it always comes off biased, but what I said today is that the Packers and their fans believe that they are some elite organization, like they're the Lakers of the NFL. You're the Mavericks, bro.
Yep.
One title with a generational talent. You should be ashamed of yourself. I know that you don't need to go out and win 7 Super Bowls like Tom Brady. At least try to win more than Eli Manning. That's my only request.
Adam,
actually, don't.
Adam,
don't
let me stop you there. They've won one. They've only been to one in the Rodgers regime. But Aaron didn't get the receiver he wanted last year on draft day, so his feelings are hurt.
He should have been. I mean, how do you go a game from the Super Bowl? A game from the Super Bowl, and your response is to trade up in the first round and go for a wide receiver. I think that he has every reason to be upset. To look at what Tom Brady got when he went down to Tampa Bay, they brought everybody in. You could have looked at that team and said, you've got Chris Godwin, you got Mike Evans, you got even Cameron Brate, who is kind of a poor man's version of Rob Gronkowski, but they didn't stop there. They went out there. They got the actual Rob Gronkowski. They brought in Antonio Brown. They did everything. They got Leonard Fournette. They did everything that they could to surround him with talent. And if I'm Aaron Rodgers, and listen, I'm no fan of his, but I can understand where he's coming from, and I think that he should be surrounded with talent. They should be going for it every year instead of trying to be 10-6 for the next decade.
But here's my question. If I'm Green Bay, I get he's upset. I don't care.
No, not at all.
You're the MVP. You are under contract. So you have one of two choices here, Aaron. You either go home and you're out of the league and you don't get paid, or you come here. And that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
He may be disgruntled all he wants, Adam. He signed the contract. Nobody put a gun to his head.
No, it's very true. I mean, unfortunately, he doesn't have the ability to go to another organization. He can't just pack up and leave and go to San Francisco or Las Vegas or any place that they would probably welcome him. So you got to do it. And if I'm the Packers too, yeah, I'd say, look, we signed this contract. You have Devontae Adams. We have they do an okay job, I guess. They're competitive, but yeah, I'm not giving him up. I'm not giving him away. If he doesn't want to play for the Green Bay Packers, he's not playing football as far as I'm concerned. If you're a member of the Packers organization.
Oh, okay. Look at that. There Adam he Rank. Is, Jordan Love. There he is. That's the guy we're going to love for the next few years, Adam.
Do they remember 2017? For every Packers fan out there who is trying to tell me, like, oh, you know what? Like, we can just win without him. We've done it before. You're like, yeah, you went from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. And there's a possibility Jordan Love could be very good. There's also a possibility he could be Brett Hundley. And when he was the starting quarterback in 2017, it did not go well. And I think that was indicative of how great this organization really is, that it's relied on Hall of Fame quarterback play for the last 28 years to be somewhat respectable. If you take that away, you're not going to be good.
Okay, I don't want this to be two NFC North dudes just pooping all over the Packers here, while I understand why. Is the idea that the Niners have checked in on Rodgers mean anything to you? Like, some people have already drawn some, like, Jimmy G in the third pick for Aaron Rodgers. Like, I'd have to really figure out what we're going to do. But let's be honest, San Francisco has been very coy with what they're doing with this third pick. Could there be something in the works for tonight even?
Yeah, I think they're having the best weekend possible, you know, just enjoying the spoils of victory of moving up to the number three spot, because they do have a pretty good chance. They have something tangible. Like, when we talked about over the summer of Russell Wilson possibly going to the Bears, one of the things that was holding up that deal is that the Bears were selecting at number 20, and that was never going to happen. That's not enticing enough. You can't replace your quarterback at 20. I don't know that the Packers necessarily need to get a quarterback, but if you had the number three overall pick, and let's say you got Kyle Pitts, let's say you got Jamar Chase, or Jalen Waddle or one of those guys.
How awesome!
And
would
you
it
took
be?
And you took Jimmy Garoppolo, or you know, actually you don't need him because you got Jordan Love. Okay? Apparently, Jordan Love's the savior. So do that. Take that number three pick. Take the number one pick next year and the year after that. Get your wide receiver. That would be the ultimate coup de grace.
Oh.
Would be, and I'm talking about Seth Rollins, is, you know, is if you did that, if you not only traded Aaron Rodgers for the number three overall selection,
Kyle Pitts.
But then you got Kyle Pitts. You got him the weapon that he needed.
Yeah, but it's worth a lot more than number three. What was it, three firsts that were turned down for Russell Wilson? I think it's a first this year, a first next year, a first the year after that, and maybe Garoppolo, which... Yeah. Then Garoppolo gets moved to New England.
They've already given up a lot for that third pick, right? Like, it's not like San Francisco has things lined up here.
Yeah, but I mean, bringing in Rodgers solves so many problems. Right. That 49ers team is going to be loaded once again. They were befouled by injuries last year. Bosa missed a ton of time. Kittle missed a ton of time. Once they're healthy and right, and of course the quarterback missed a ton of time. If Aaron Rodgers comes in there and is healthy, the 49ers probably become the team to beat in the NFC. And that's right. I would say even over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Two first rounders and Goff for Stafford, right? So I guess you're looking at more than, I mean, the third pick, though, is a little bit different, right?
Like third pick is a little bit different.
A little bit different.
The question is, and we're going way down the road here, but if that happens and you're Green Bay, do you take Justin Fields with the third pick or do you take Kyle Pitts? Like, are you sold on Jordan Love, or are you saying, wait a minute, the third overall pick is a franchise-changing quarterback that Jordan Love with one of the last picks of the first round may not be?
Yeah, I just did a feature on how, and Adam, you can weigh in on this, but I just did a feature on how draft position means nothing to quarterbacks. It's how you develop them, and they've seen a year of Jordan Love in practice and might be able to understand
how
a little
much,
bit
though,
better.
How much, you think Aaron Rodgers is letting Jordan Love get a lot of reps with the ones and the twos? I don't.
No, but you can figure out what you've got a little bit better with a year of practice than...
No OTAs, no off-season, no preseason games. What do you know about what you have in Jordan Love?
Did you watch you our still opening have... segment?
No, I was I was buying champagne.
We were too busy celebrating. We didn't watch any part of the show previously. But you do have your college scouting on Jordan Love. You did have him in the building. So I understand. I agree with Tim. I think you know a little bit what you have. You don't have him in game situations.
No.
But you do know what you have. And if you have a guy that you're confident in, I mean, you moved up to get Jordan Love last year. I would say that, if you take the number three overall pick, go get your wide receiver or get your Kyle Pitts or whoever. I would go with Kyle Pitts, even though I know that Bob Tonyan played pretty well last year. I don't think that there's many players like Kyle Pitts that come along in these drafts very often. And you know what? I just think that would be the way to go. I would just love to see it just for the different storylines that come out of that move.
I don't think Tonyan caught a pass outside the 20 the entire year. Like, he only caught touchdowns or in
only
and around
touchdowns.
The goal line. He turned into Chris.
You know
Carter.
What, Adam? They should draft Mac Jones, the Packers, with a third overall pick. That's what they should do.
Yeah, keep loading up on quarterbacks,
absolutely,
guys. It's working out very well for you.
Yeah, it worked out well for the Jets, too. All right, listen, Adam Rank's going to stick around. We unfortunately have to let Arash Madani go.
Salud.
Cheers to you.
Cheers.
Jesse.
Appreciate you.
Good on you, and I hope that he doesn't.
Like, to the end of 16 years of hell.
Yeah, I hope that he doesn't stick around for like three more years
and
just because
you've
done
this. And that one
Super
Bowl appearance on his resume.
Yeah. All right. As many Super Bowl appearances as Rex Grossman.
There you go.
Adam Rank sticking around, and Arash Madani departs with his champagne in hand. Pop bottles in studio. We'll see what happens with Aaron Rodgers. After the break, we'll bring in another man from the NFL Network. Yeah, an NFL Network party. Nate Burleson making his Tim and Friends debut. Yeah, Three's Company next on Tim and Friends. Tim and Friends includes Adam Rank joining us from the NFL Network. The whirling dervish, the tornado that was Arash Madani has left the building, but graced us with a bottle of champagne. Alan Honey writes into the show and says, imagine Rodgers going to the Vikings. What would Rash's reaction to that be? Don't worry, Alan. That would never, ever, ever happen. And Chris Williamson, who writes and works for SNY in New York, sent out this tweet that I love, Rank. He says, when the nation needed somebody to take a stand against Tim Tebow trying to get back into the limelight, this man courageously stepped up to the plate. We are not worthy, and includes a picture of Aaron Rodgers. It does feel like for the second straight year, he's stealing the draft. I don't know if he leaked this information or the Packers leaked this information, but it does feel like he's kind of stealing the draft again.
A little bit strategic, and, you know, a well-placed source is putting this information out right mm-hmm. on the eve of the draft. But it is something, and you know, we talked about it earlier, about San Francisco. And San Francisco was a team that, you know, had some interest or would have interest in Aaron Rodgers, kind of righting a wrong from a number of years ago when they chose Alex Smith ahead of Aaron Rodgers. So it does make a little bit of sense. And again, anything to get Tim Tebow out of the news. Like this, even me as a biased Bears fan have to give a little bit of kudos to Aaron Rodgers for squashing that story.
For those who don't know the Tebow story, apparently he's been working out for Jacksonville on the eve of them selecting Trevor Lawrence. And everyone go, wait, what? And then they,
whoa, what? No.
It's a tight end. And Urban Meyer, Tim Tebow makes kind of, sort of some sense, but whatever. Okay, so is Trevor Lawrence, earlier on in the show, and listen, Arash Madani has no excuse. He's in Canada. You can't see the diatribe that I laid down at the top of the show. And basically it was, if Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time and Joe Montana is the second best quarterback of all time, why are we drafting quarterback after quarterback in the first round? I mean, that's a sixth-round pick and a third-round pick. NFL.com put out a list of their top 25 quarterbacks of all time, and there were just as many guys picked in the top 10 picks of the NFL draft as there were almost undrafted guys in the mix. There were three in the top 10 of the first round, and there were two undrafted guys on their list. Like, it's proof that surrounding the player, having patience with the player, giving him good coaches is almost as important as the talent. That said, Trevor Lawrence looks like the real deal, does he not?
Absolutely, yeah. 100%. And one of the things to note here is that college scouting has gotten a little bit more sophisticated over the years. Tom Brady was put into a situation where Michigan had recruited Drew Henson away from playing baseball for the Yankees. So he split time, but Tom Brady was a very good quarterback. But what we've seen out of Trevor Lawrence over the last 3 years has been pretty remarkable. And I found this, or somebody, I think it was Tom Pelissero, who tweeted this out today, assuming the Jags do not go 17-0 this season. And that's probably a pretty good assumption. This will be the first time that Trevor Lawrence has ever lost a regular season game ever. Undefeated in high school, undefeated in college, except for the bowl game, of course, against Ohio State. And then he just doesn't lose. And so I think that, you know, it's tough for these guys who've been in the limelight for so long. Like, we've just assumed he was going to be the number one overall pick in the draft since his freshman year at Clemson. Yeah. And now it's finally the time. Like, it's finally here. And I guess the closest comparison I could think of is kind of like when Andrew Luck was coming through the system and we were just kind of like waiting for it. Like, hey, at some point, Andrew Luck is going to be the number one overall pick. He's going to go to the NFL and he's going to be fantastic. Now, obviously, he retired early, had some injury troubles, but he was a very good quarterback. And I think that Trevor Lawrence is going to have that kind of impact with the Jags, a team that's been waiting for a quarterback for quite some time. They've gone through a lot of them, but I think that they finally have their guy.
Note Nate Burleson. Apparently he's got too many jobs and he cannot join us as of right now. So we will wait for the next time.
I was surprised. Like, he's got 60 jobs.
Yeah, he does.
He really, like, he's doing everything. And I thought the thing that he did, the thing with Nickelodeon during the playoffs, which was so amazing.
Extra.
He acted, by the way, and a little bit of a humble brag. I took his locker when he moved from Los Angeles to go to New York to do GMFB. I took his locker, which that means that's like going from Rodgers to Jordan Love, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, still, I've tried to serve it well.
All right, so let's talk about the rest of this draft. Where is the spot where you think that this could go a little haywire? And maybe it's three, or maybe there's somewhere else where you think that this could go. Do you think that Mac Jones is going three to San Francisco?
You know, there is so much smoke to this. Yeah. And I remember a couple of years ago when Mitch Trubisky kept getting mocked to the Chicago Bears. I didn't want to read it. I'm like, I'm done with it. There's no way they'll do it. They'll take Jamal Adams or Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
But it seems like sometimes these guys are so clued in. They just know where it's going to go. And I think that Mac, I don't know. It makes sense. But at the same time, they could go a number of different directions. They could go with Trey Lance. They could go with Justin Fields. I think that this is really the wild card spot. And this is where the draft really gets interesting. And then at number four, you know, the Falcons have been looking at taking Kyle Pitts. That seems like a pretty good fit for them. And then what do the Bengals do? You know, going offensive tackle makes a lot of sense. They got the kid from Oregon. Everybody just assumes, but Jamar Chase is there. And then number six, the Dolphins don't need a tight end. The Dolphins could go with Jamar Chase. But when you start looking at six, seven, and eight right there, teams that might not necessarily need a quarterback who could trade down, that's when it could start getting interesting, especially if somebody like Justin Fields starts to drop.
Right.
Then you have teams like the Patriots, you have the Washington FT, the Bears, I guess, also would be in the mix too. There's three teams that could, and the Denver Broncos. Like, there's teams that can move. So I think that this is going to be very entertaining just because of the quarterback factor and who is going to fall and who it could be. And the 49ers hold all the cards right now. Do they make a deal for Rodgers? Do they take Mac Jones? Do they take Justin Fields? What are they doing? Do they go crazy? Do they take Kyle Pitts themselves? And they run him and George Kittle out there? Who knows? So I think there's a lot of interest. There's so many interesting storylines going on. And it's kind of nice because the number one pick just seems so automatic. That there's no mystery, you know, it's so automatic. But after three and four, that's when it's really going to get wild.
The thing for me is that if the Bengals screw this up and don't take an O-lineman, like, just protect Joe Burrow, like, do yourselves the one solid that you like. How many times do you have to go through this? Just get a guy or two or three and protect Joe Burrow because he looks like he's real deal.
He really is. And, you know, Jamar, the thing is Jamar Chase is there. They have that history together. They have T. Higgins. They do have a decent receiving core. Tyler Boyd is really good. T. Higgins is really good. But Jamar Chase just kind of puts them over the top. Perhaps you know that you're allowed to draft a tackle in the second round as well. For everybody that's throwing up the roadblocks, like, get him. We're going to protect them, but let's use our money wisely. Like, you got these drink tickets. You know, let's say you're going to Blake, they're giving you drink tickets. Do you want to go and get a tap beer, like an American domestic tap beer, or do you want to go top shelf and get something really nice for yourself?
Right.
I think it's an interesting situation for the Bengals.
Right. So Adam Rank wants to go Grey Goose here and wants to stay away from the
I didn't know who the sponsors were.
Solid pick. Yeah, I actually just threw that out there, hoping to get a free bottle. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll do last call. Is Rank sticking around, guys?
I'll stick around.
Rank sticking around. All right, we have no idea what's going on here, but we'll do last call next. Rubinoff, Rank, I don't care. It's Tim and Friends. Time now for last call here on Tim and Friends. It was chaotic. Nate Burleson was trying to join Adam Rank's Zoom call. It was just craziness going on. So Rank's sticking around. Rubinoff, let's do it.
Let's do it. We start with a big congratulations to Sportsnet's Chris Johnston, who ran a full marathon today in support of the great people at Conquer COVID-19. Chris,
one man marathon,
like, in a new personal best time of 3 hours, 39 minutes, wow, and 45 seconds. That is sick.
Nice.
Very quick for Chris. No question here. Just a shout out to a great guy and a great thing for a great cause. Way to go, Chris.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Give him the horns. You know what's funny is I watched one of my friends run a marathon one time, or, you know, like, show up, you know, we went to like one of the mile markers and there was a guy smoking and he watched these marathoners run by and he takes a drag of his cigarette and he's like, running's the worst thing for you.
That's amazing.
That's perfect. Moving on. As you mentioned earlier, there will be 13 NFL draft prospects in Cleveland tonight for the first round of the NFL draft, but Trevor Lawrence, who of course will almost certainly be the first overall pick, will not be there. Lawrence will be at his home in South Carolina, and ESPN reporter Marty Smith is stationed there as well. Earlier today, he was surprised during a live hit. Let's have a listen.
Now, there's one other thing here that I found to be interesting. Yesterday, there was a run-through here. Oh, What's up, man? What's going on? There's a run through here with this guy right here. Hey, the man of the hour. What's going on? How we feeling?
Good. Feeling great. Like I said, just good to be around family and friends, and thankful you're here. So obviously, we got a relationship from Clemson, so appreciative of it.
Well, I appreciate you having me, and I appreciate you walking right into my live shot. You're making me look good in front of all my friends. I just got a whole lot of cool points in front of you guys. I know that much.
Very smooth by Marty. Like, pretty impressive.
That was planned the entire time. What are we kidding? Yeah. Sure. Come on.
Sure. Why are you taking the magic away from him?
I'm sorry.
Let us enjoy the moment.
He's in his house. Like, what are we talking about
live
here?
Live hit.
That is true. It's not like he was at the Tim Hortons or something just hanging out. And, oh, my God, Trevor Lawrence. He just arrives. Okay,
TGI Fridays all of a sudden. Hey, here's Trevor Lawrence. What happened?
Trevor Lawrence. What are you doing here?
Adam, the question is for you. If you were getting drafted, would you rather be there in person or at home?
I think I want to be there in person. I've been to listen to this humble brag. I've been to some of the drafts, and the energy that you get and the excitement and just being able to walk out on stage and everybody's so happy for you. You have the promise of an NFL career in front of you. You kind of want to soak it up, and you know what? Bring your family with you like that. Just make sure that you're hugging, you know, your mother or your wife or your child before, you know, you hug your agent. I think that was the only advice I would ever give.
And
anybody.
Hug Roger Goodell. You got to hug him too.
And then go, you know, by the way, I do want to go. I want to get the Roger Goodell hug. I think that is part of it. And he's like, I don't know if you've ever been in his presence, but he's a sizable dude. And to see these linemen pick him up, it's incredible.
I'm still waiting for the one dude to kind of be the anti-establishment and give Goodell the old, like, hand goes out and then pulls it up and fixes his hair. I want to see that.
Maybe it's coming tonight.
I want him to no-sell it. Yeah, for sure.
Like, it's a wrestling heel turn on Roger Goodell. I'd love to see it.
Moving on to hockey as we get a couple looks at the bro hugs from Goodell. Ducks goalie Ryan Miller announced today that he'll retire at the end of the season. Miller has won more NHL games than any other American-born goalie. The 40-year-old played 18 seasons with the Sabres, Blues, Canucks, and Ducks. Tim, what will you remember Ryan Miller best for?
I hate to do this in the presence of our American friend, Adam Rank, but I remember him most for being the goalie in the net for the golden goal.
No kidding.
And Sidney Crosby. Sorry, Rank. And maybe my favorite part of the golden goal, outside of the jubilation that sent, I don't know, like 35 million people out into the streets on a random day for a random goal, rather big goal, was Winnipeg. And I don't know if you ever saw this, Rank, but Ryan Miller shortly thereafter goes to Winnipeg, and they chanted silver medal at him. It might have been one of the greatest chants that we have ever heard.
Oh, you know what? I'm a Kings fan.
Blake Wheeler, he walks at Brian Little, Vander Kane, Jimmy Slater.
That's so hard. That is, now I'm upset about this. Glass.
Looks ahead to Thorburn and Lee. Sorry, you're saying you're an LA Kings fan. I'm a
Kings fan, so I think Jonathan Quick's the greatest American-born goalie anyways. So,
there you go.
It is a quick aside, but that chant is amazing. You know what? Why not? Like, that's, I want to be upset by that, but the best heels are the ones who tell the truth. And in that moment, Canada was speaking their truth, and you know what? You can do nothing but wear it.
You know what? Winnipeg fans are among the best.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing there. One more. The Phoenix Suns beat the Clippers last night to clinch their first playoff appearance since 2010. In the days of Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire, fans in Phoenix serenaded Chris Paul with MVP chants late in the game. So, Adam, does CP3 deserve to be in the MVP conversation?
You know what? I really do believe so. And I think that, you know, what he's done with that Phoenix team, and it's been a while, you know, since he's, you know, he's been involved with a little bit of controversy, and for him to be able to go out there and do it against the Clippers and for them to serenade him, I think that was the perfect moment for them. But yeah, he definitely should be in that MVP mix.
Yeah, he's in the conversation. I don't know if he wins it, maybe Embiid or Jokic, but he's definitely in the conversation. I think conversation.
They're fun.
Hey, Rank, thanks for sticking around for a little last call.
My pleasure.
We even had drinks.
I look like a hipster mixologist anyway, so I should stick around for the last call.
We even got drinks for you, buddy, in studio. That does it for us. Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate you. Sabres Bruins up next in Sportsnet 360. Flames Oilers later. Have a great night. We will talk to you tomorrow.